Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. Glad to be with you again. My name is Patrick Conley, and it is a weekend after Easter. We've been working our way through Ordinary Time. We're coming up on the great feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ, where we give thanks to the Lord and we celebrate particularly his gift of his body and blood to us. And I'll tell you, you know, as a convert from Protestantism to Catholicism, that was never a huge stumbling block for me. I remember from very early on as a Presbyterian growing up in a Presbyterian church and thinking that, you know, this is a real gift, this communion thing. Now, I will say that when I was a teenager, I went through that phase of when I saw, because we didn't have communion every week as a Protestant, as a Presbyterian anyway. Some Protestants do, but we did not. And I will tell you that when I saw that the communion elements were out on the, we didn't call it an altar, but on the communion table at the beginning of our service, I got a little, oh man, this means the church is going to go an extra 15 minutes. Oh, and that was just so, it was just not something that I wanted to take part in, I guess. But you know what, as I have become more and more just learning about, but of course, more and more participating in the great sacrament of Christ's body and blood, there's just no comparison. There's nothing in comparison with it. That's what we come for. Of course, we come to feast from the table of the Word and the Eucharist, but they are there in support of one another and cannot be separated because Jesus Christ himself, as we know, is the Word of God. And he has also given us his body and blood for our nourishment, just as St. John tells us that those who do eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man have life eternal, life everlasting. And it's a life that is given to us to live out in joy and in thanksgiving and in service to God and service to our neighbor. And speaking of which, our first guests that we're going to have on the program today, Mary Kennedy and Melissa Nault from Pax Christi in Eden Prairie, are going to be talking about a very innovative way of how they get people in Pax Christi, parishioners at Pax Christi, engaged with the parish and the parish life. Very intriguing. They're part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment as we are now in June. So this is the first Friday of the month, and so we are going to be talking about great Catholic parishes, and they're from Pax Christi, representing them. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to have Becky Hanel and Kristen Wormus, who are talking about pregnancy choices and the ministry that they have with both women and men in terms of who are facing a pregnancy that was perhaps unexpected and looking for options there. And then wrapping up the program today, this is a true variety show today, and I love it. I love those shows. We're going to have Jeremy Stanbury. You might know him from Crux Point Fitness, but you also might know him, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners know him, from Open Window Theater, which just very recently was awarded a legal victory that is going to breathe new life into Open Window Theater, and I know a lot of us are going to be thankful for that. So we have a great variety show coming up this hour here on the Rediscover Hour, but let's, as always, pause at the beginning of the program, commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we come back from our first break, we're going to have Mary Kennedy and Melissa Nault from Pax Christi in Eden Prairie talking about serve. Stay with us.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well-off. They do it because they're a give-first organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a give-first organization. Give them a call today.
Back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Glad to be with you on this first weekend of June and Corpus Christi weekend. And since it is the first weekend of the month, we are having another segment in our Great Catholic Parishes series. And specifically right now, we have two representatives from Pax Christi down in Eden Prairie. We have Mary Kennedy. Mary serves as the Director of Stewardship and Development at Pax Christi. And she's also a member of the Archdiocesan Stewardship Council and serves on the Board of Directors for Catholic Strengths and Engagement, which is an online forum that fosters faith communities on engagement and strengths development. Mary is married. Mary is married to Miles Kennedy, and they are members at Ascension in Minneapolis. They have two grown daughters, one in Arizona and one in Colorado. Welcome to the program, Mary. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Patrick. We're happy to be here today.
And also joining us is Melissa Nault, who is the Director of Communication Arts at Pax Christi and co-founder and chair of the Catholic Communicators Network of the Twin Cities, a member of the Catholic Press Association, also does part-time freelance work for other local parishes. She has three children, two daughters and a son, and married to Pat, good name, and their family have been members at Pax Christi since 1999. Melissa, welcome to the program to you as well.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, well, great to have you both here. And we're here to talk today about serve. So let's just start right from the very beginning, which is, as I hear, a very good place to start. What is serve? What is serve as in the terms that Pax Christi uses the term?
You know, serve is an opportunity for us to engage with our members of Pax Christi in order for them to find ways that they can use their gifts, their talents, skills in our parish and in the greater community in a volunteer opportunity, which we call shared ministry. So serve takes us from the paper sign-up form, from time and talent form, and brings us to an online ability where people can search through by program or ministry area, or they can look at it by a particular skill or talent that they might have. And from there, they can choose or select a ministry area that has an opening that fits their particular talent or skill.
Okay, but they can search through this not just by ministry, but also by their own gifting, is what you're saying, by their own talents.
Exactly. Right? Say somebody has an ability to they enjoy photography, for example. They could click on photography, and up comes all of the opportunities that we have at Pax Christi where you could use your photographic skills.
Wow.
So it might be we have some sacraments coming up, First Communions, so you might want to take photos of the First Communion recipients and their families, or we have our spring gardening. We might want to have a community event and have a photographer taking pictures of the community building event that's going on. And if they sign up for that, then we send out and say, okay, here's the time, here's what we need. And if it fits, great. If not, we put you back in the gift inventory and we utilize you in the future.
Right. Okay. Melissa, just a question over to you as well. What different ministries are there on the Serve website? I perused it and I saw that it was rather lengthy, but can you give us a taste for some of the different ministries that are there?
Right. So each ministry at Pax Christi, like worship, stewardship, justice, communication, all the ministries, there's probably a dozen or so. Each one has quite a large list. So I believe we probably have hundreds of opportunities that people can get involved in, but they can really kind of drill down based on what their talent or their skill is. But for the most part, the ministries are kind of the structure at Pax Christi of how we're structured, worship, stewardship, communications, building services.
It's an achievement just to have it all together in one place, so people can look at it and see it from beginning to end. Wow, there's a lot of places to get involved.
Right, and they're very. Each time someone kind of finds the opportunity they want to get involved in, they would click on the link that says I'm interested, and it takes them to a little brief description of what that involves in time also. And then there's the call to action, so they can immediately put their name, contact information, hit send, and that goes directly to the ministry. The person that is in charge of that ministry, and they can then reach out to that parishioner and get them signed up right away.
Wow. Engaged is, I think, a good word for
right.
it. You were telling me before the program that engaged is your word. That's
right.
how you get people engaged. Mary, we were also talking that it's nice to have it in the online form, but not everybody can do the online thing right now. So is this available to in a more of a paper fashion as well? If
sure. For parishioners that are not necessarily have access to a computer, we do have computers at the parish that they can come in and utilize.
Yeah.
And we have those right in the office so people can come in and sign up every day at any time that the building is open. We also have paper forms, sort of a traditional time and talent form that people can utilize. But even when we have somebody fill out the paper form, we have trusted volunteers that come in and put it into serve. So that way it cuts out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
By putting it into serve, it goes right to the ministry lead. And then that takes the middleman out of it, and they can immediately get in contact with the person when they're interested, rather than waiting for somebody to come in, fill in the form, put it in the parish database, and wait some more until the person says to Father, oh, man, I signed up for something 3 years ago and nobody ever contacted
right,
me,
right.
which is really the worst thing that can possibly happen. So
right.
we want to have that immediacy.
And you're cutting through a lot of red tape.
Yes, yeah. yes.
And speaking as a parish employee myself, that would be heavenly to be able to say, here's somebody who's interested in helping out. That I may not have known of, I might never have met before. And Pax Christi is a large parish as well, so I would think
yes.
that you have a lot of people with a lot of opportunities, and it would be, well, I don't want to say impossible, but nigh on impossible to try to manage all these things through one particular office and then get them farmed out to the appropriate ministry directors.
Great. Our ministry leads really enjoy the serve program because they have that, I need somebody to be altar server, and boom, here it is right
yeah,
now.
Right.
So they can contact that person, get them trained, and get them on the schedule as soon as possible when they're still interested in it.
Right. Just wondering if there's a specific ministry that draws the most interest. Is there one particular area or group or anything like that that really does, or is it pretty well distributed across all of them?
It is pretty well distributed across the area. People choose by program area. So, for example, if they're interested in justice mm-hmm. ministries or worship ministries, you see a lot of people looking at by program area. But you'll see that when people take a look at their skills and talents, so often people will say, I don't have a talent when they think about the church, because mm-hmm. they think if they don't want to be a lector or a money counter, or they can't sing, they can't volunteer for the church. But we turned around and took these skills and talents and applied them to job descriptions of our ministries and found out, yeah, we do need bakers. We do need photographers. We do need people that can do landscaping. We need people that enjoy offering welcoming hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
We do need people that are good mentors and leaders. And so when we share with them, here's what this talent looks like in this particular job or this role or this opportunity, people can say, wow, I do have talents that the parish can use.
Yeah, yeah, right. Melissa, just wondering, as the Director of Communication Arts down there, is it basically, does it fall to you to make sure that everything keeps up and running smoothly, or is that not really on your plate?
Well, yeah, running smoothly. But actually, Mary Mary has access to the back end also. And so between the two of us, we make sure that the serve database is always up to date. You know, because sometimes a ministry will drop off. Maybe we don't have a need, so we'll take that one down for a while. But then we also have ministry leads that will come to us and say, I have this immediate need. And so then we do have the option for our parishioners to click on the immediate needs, and then they'll see a list of these jobs are there right now and need to be filled. So yeah, between Mary and I, we both keep the back end running.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm just curious as to, do parishioners, do they do this just once, one and done type of thing, or do they go back and they say, well, maybe I want to try something else, or I want to investigate what other opportunities are out there? What do you experience?
Oh, I think that's definitely something that we encourage people. We absolutely encourage people to review and renew every year when they take stock. Spend some time thinking about what are the gifts that I've been given and how can I share those with the greater community to further my faith. So we do that annually with our annual renewal with sharing and serving. Pray, serve, and share is our area, time and talent. And so the financial support of the parish, also the gifts that I share and serve work right into that. Mm-hmm. However, there are times that people might have an hour or 10 minutes or 15 minutes here in the summertime that they might not have in the middle of the year. So sure. We encourage people to take a look at that all the time. Take a stock of what do I have and what are the gifts that I've been blessed with and how can I use those in my faith journey and to share with other people.
Okay, that's great. Now, here's the maybe the crux question. Do people use it? Do they get on there? Do they do it?
Yes, they do. Right. And it's very easy. It's on the website. It's just there's multiple places where you just click serve and you are there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can, Mary can tell you how many people actually sign up.
The first week we started it, we had 12 people click on serve and we hadn't even announced it to the parish yet. So we had 12 people sign up for ministry involvement or to say, I'm interested. And we're just dumbfounded. It's like, wow, this is great. And so it was people that wanted to be an altar server, somebody that wanted to be a photographer, somebody that wanted to help with our justice area in this particular ministry, and gardening. When we put that into our immediate needs, we've had 4 or 5 different people that came forward to say that they want to help us with our spring gardening.
Wow.
And so obviously people were thinking about, oh, this is interesting. They might have been just goofing off in their pajamas late at night, checking out the website. And that's the benefit of serve. You can do it anytime.
Right. And like the, as I watched the analytics for our website, since we started promoting serve in the last maybe 2 months, it has moved to one of the top 10. It's probably even one of the top 6 hits on our website. So it's definitely getting used.
And Melissa, what is the Pax Christi website? In case I'm sure there's some listeners who want to check this out, even if they're not.
It's www.paxchristi.com. And
well,
it's Christi with an I.
Yes, with an I. That's good to know. Yes.
Right.
Okay. And I'm wondering if you were mentioning you can do this, Mary, in your pajamas at home, which, great, you know, go ahead, do that. But do you still have, at Pax Christi, do you still have the more traditional, I don't know what you would call it, ministry fair or shared mission fair or something like that, where you have different ministries and people can actually come in person and sign up as well?
Yes, we do. We have had the annual large ministry fair, but in the more recent years, our stewardship council has worked on having smaller ministry showcases. And so we've just moved to what we call a quarterly ministry showcase. So for 3 months, we'll be focusing on particular ministries, and we have a brochure that's set out with immediate needs. So for example, right now in April, May, and June, we have ministry showcase, and all of those items that are showcased on our brochure that for the paper people are also under immediate needs on serve.
Oh.
And so then the middle in May, and then again in August for the next quarter, we'll have those highlighted ministries be after Mass for in hospitality, sharing about information about their ministry and having a little mini ministry fair on a quarterly basis.
Right. Well, you said that you've gotten a lot of people using serve even before you announced it to the parish. Yeah. So I presume that the overall feedback has been good for Serve, and people are saying, yep, this is great. I love doing it at midnight in my pajamas or whatever.
It is funny, the time stamp that comes in, people that late at night goofing off on their computers. But my ministry leads are the people that really like it the most, because they don't have to wait for me to have somebody get that information into the database and send the form over. They get it instantaneously so they can communicate with the interested member immediately.
Right. And that's, again, we're talking with Mary Kennedy and Melissa Nault from Pax Christi in the Eden Prairie, talking about Serve, a way to get parishioners engaged in all sorts of different activities and ministries going on at Pax Christi based on their skills, their gifts, their talents. Melissa, one more time, may we have the website one more time, please?
It's www.paxchristi.com.
And there's an easy-to-find link to Serve.
Yes, right there is. The top navigation has Serve, or there is a button on all pages, an image button that'll take you right there also.
Wonderful. Well, Mary Kennedy, Melissa Nault, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour, and I hope a lot of other parishes engage in this way as well. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, God bless you. And as we kind of do some shifting around here in the studio, as we're going to move on into the next segment we have here, I just want to encourage everybody to check out Serve. I did pop on there myself, and it's pretty impressive just how easy to use, how straightforward it is. And as you're indicating the gifts, the talents, the strengths, the skills that you might have, you can just find a whole listing of things that could fit you, and the Lord might use that in a way to lead you and guide you into further engagement in the parish. And if you are from a parish other than Pax Christi, check it out anyway and think about, well, is this something that we could use at our parish? All right, well, turning the page and joining me now here in studio, Becky Hannell, who is the Executive Director of Pregnancy Choices and began there as such at the end of January in 2017, coming from parish work, most recently at St. Vincent de Paul up in Maple Grove. She's been married to her husband, Jeff, for almost 28 years, and they have four young adult children in their 20s and love to get away to their cabin in Wisconsin. Becky, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, good to have you with us. Kristen Wiermus also joins us as the Center's Director of Client Services. And Kristen, you've been in that position for the past 5.5 years, so you've been doing that for a while now, yeah?
I have.
And, you've been, I have to mention this, you've been married for almost 18 years, and you have three children, two dogs, two guinea pigs, two lizards, and one fish.
My children will be so happy you mentioned everybody.
Very good, good. Does a fish have a name? That's what I want.
I don't remember, actually.
Okay, well, they're going to be disappointed.
I can't remember which one died.
Oh, you're down to one fish from more fish.
From more.
Okay, very good. All right, but we're here not to talk about fish, but to talk about pregnancy choices. Well, just start us off, what is pregnancy choices? What kind of services do you offer?
Pregnancy Choices is a nonprofit located in Apple Valley, Minnesota, and what we provide for free for anyone who calls are free pregnancy tests. We do free ultrasounds. We also do free STI testing. But what we really provide is the chance to have a conversation, and we're really trying to target the women who are looking to have an abortion.
Mm, yeah, and to counsel or coach them away from that. I would make
we do use life coaching, and that's a platform for us to really meet the client where they're at. And in that space, we try to hold space for them to have a bigger dream for their life than what they're currently holding.
Right.
And a lot of times it's just the conversation, even though they know what their choices are, they really want to talk through them.
Yeah.
And so we're very, very good at what we do, and we can talk about abortion, we can talk about adoption, and we can talk about parenting and see, challenge them to really make a connection between how the emotions that they're feeling are influencing their decision.
Sure.
But then we also try to move them to regrounding them into what their values are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people are in these, you know, very stressful, scary situations, and it feels like there's no way out, the abortion clinics have done a really good job of marketing to them to let them know that, hey, there is a way out and there's only one way out.
Mm.
And we're telling them there's more than one way out, and let's try to reconnect back to your values, because that's really going to be a structure that can honor the essence of who you are, and it can really be a powerful way to move out of emotion and into something that's, you know, can be sustained.
Right, right. And there's a lot of There's a lot of good work being done by a number of different pregnancy, unexpected pregnancy clinics, that sort of thing, around that are offering all sorts of services. And I don't see at all you all in competition with one another, but rather supporting and engaging with one another. But is there anything that really makes pregnancy choices unique?
Well, of course, it's our life coach approach. And okay. I just really have to reiterate what Kristen said. And I believe that that's really how Jesus would want us to meet our clients. You know, when they come to the door, men or women, I think we really open our arms and our heart to that, and we welcome them right where they are. We try to walk alongside them in a journey that we can't imagine, but to put ourselves in that place that they are, to give them the space and the dignity and the honor to have their story heard first. And then our goal as coaches is to ask these powerful questions and then to sit in silence, because we know that in that silence, when they're really considering and really looking inside, we know that that's when the Holy Spirit works and that that's the moment that God can use to reconnect them to who they really do want to be. So we feel just so honored that we are moments, we walk in these moments of sacredness and transformation. And when a client connects their values to the decision, and they can see for themselves that they want to make a choice to be that person they want to be, that person that we know God made them to be, it's a really holy moment. So we're so fortunate to walk that way with them. Something else that makes pregnancy choices really unique is we have a fatherhood program.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. We have a really, really unique opportunity in the pregnancy resource world, and we're kind of pioneering this to serve the men. We have so many men that come to support their partner, and often it's a statement or a position of, I'm here to do whatever she wants. And we recognize that our role is to support not only the mother and the child, but to support that father and to help him also articulate his vocation as a father. So we have a male life coach who's with us one day a week, and he asks the questions to these men, and he really shares with them that there is nobody else that can be the father for this child. The mother can offer so much and do so much, but this is the only person who really is the dad. And again, by this coaching method, asking these powerful questions, I think we're allowing men to be a part of this whole situation, which they are, and we're empowering them to have a voice and to become a stronger piece of a family unit, however that family looks. The research that we have shows us, and we know this, that when we can empower a father in a family, this whole family is going to be so much more, have such a better opportunity for a better life. So if we engage that dad, we give that mom a chance to choose life in a much easier way. She's going to have that emotional support and that financial support and can see the possibility of how this can be.
Right. I guess I'm just presuming, but that's always a bad thing to do. But are the people who come to you, are they generally younger people who come as clients?
Well, statistically, most of our clients are between 20 and 30.
Okay.
And then who's getting abortions in Minnesota is typically between 20 and 26.
Okay. So you're serving that particular niche, and that's, I would assume, that would just be the place that I would expect that most people with an unexpected pregnancy and looking for those options, looking for those choices would come in. So how do people usually initially reach out to you at Pregnancy Choices? Is it by phone? Do you have a walk-in clinic as well?
We do have a walk-in clinic, but most people find us online. We've engaged in a fairly expensive targeted SEO marketing to try to compete with the abortion clinics who are spending a ton of money trying to attract clients who are looking for abortion. Mm. And so if we can show up in the top two or three when somebody does a search, then we have a much better chance of at least having them come through our door, because then we have a shot. Mm-hmm. If they don't come through our door, we have no shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. And you're located in Apple Valley, and you see as kind of your target the South Metro, is that what I understand?
Yep, that's true. The majority of our clients are from Dakota County.
Okay.
It is definitely an underserved population. So we are really finding that we're filling a niche. We're working really closely with Dakota County Social Services, and there's a continuum of care there, and we're really seeing that there's some overlap with us. So we feel so We're really excited to know that we're filling a void in Dakota County. We're also starting to see a lot of women from Hennepin and Ramsey County as well.
Oh.
And when we ask them about that, you know, how did you find us? A lot of them, we are popping up when they search. And many of them are looking at that life coaching option. And they're saying, I want to have a chance to just have a conversation so that I can figure out what it is that I want. A lot of our clients walk in with so much external pressure that we are sometimes the first place that has said, what is it that you want and what do you need? And that's a really powerful question when someone can say, what I need is this and this and this. And if we can help show that there's an option and an opportunity to connect to some of those other resources, the whole vision of the future becomes different. I think the other thing that's really unique about us is our mission statement. We see the need in the culture right now. There's a huge miss in relational poverty. We have so many people who are lonely and who don't feel connected and don't belong. And you know, Christ taught us that so well. The first thing he did was he would say, you know, he would meet someone and he would break bread with them and he would come into community with them. And we see that a lot of the clients we see are there because there's a miss and a hole in them and they're trying to fill it in a way that's pretty, you know, pretty at risk and pretty challenging. So we're really trying to be proactive and get in front of the relational poverty as well and speak to healthy relationship and speak to good communication and sound decision making and really show each individual that their own dignity and worth is worthy of healthy decisions and healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm. How many life coaches do you have?
Well, we currently have
four.
And we have a couple new staff as well that are going through the certification. So our board is really supportive of this methodology and has invested in any person on our team that has direct client contact will go through the life coach training. And it's really an expensive endeavor, but we can see how effective it is and how important it is in how we can best meet our clients' needs. So we're committed to that.
Mm-hmm. And are these life coaches, are they all on your paid staff or? Yeah, they, yeah. Okay, very good. And then, well, you were just talking about it's an expensive endeavor. Kristen, you were talking about the expenses of going through this marketing and making sure that you come up in the top results from searches and that sort of thing. Just wondering, what might you need for the furtherance of your mission?
Well, we always are looking for sustainable funds that, you know, people who can donate on a monthly basis because, I mean, our numbers are up. Substantially from the beginning of the year compared to last year. And, you know, obviously that doesn't translate in a nonprofit to more money that we're bringing in. It's actually more expenditure.
Right.
And we want to be able to concentrate on serving our clients and not worrying about the financial impact of being able to serve more people. And so for sure money. And then we're trying to grow our volunteer network. We have a wonderful group of ladies who just started cooking homemade lunches for a mom's group that we host every other Thursday.
Nice.
Talking about, you know, that community, that connectiveness, that once they have their babies, we continue to serve them, but we also want them to start connecting with the community. Mm-hmm. And so this wonderful group of ladies from Risen Savior volunteered to come in and just start making a nice lunch for them. And they come and they stay and they chat and they really seem to be filled, you know, just with that kind of love.
Right, right. Very nice. So if people are looking to, maybe they're inspired to give a gift or become a sustaining member or to give of their time as well, how do they get in touch with Pregnancy Choices?
That would be on our website, www.mypregnancychoices.com, or you can also call the center.
Okay. And I believe I saw you have a Facebook page as well. Is that right?
We do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So all over social media as well. Well, wonderful. Well, I'm grateful for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the life coach model. I think that's excellent. And thank you also, just speaking as a man, for reaching out to the men as well and providing options and for them and helping them to engage with their rightful role in the pregnancy that's there. So Becky Hanel and Kristen Wormus, we are grateful that you joined us here on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you being on the program.
Thanks so much, Patrick. It was great to be here.
All right. We are going to go into our next break. When we come back, you won't want to miss this. We're going to have Jeremy Stanbury with us talking about the recent legal victory by Open Window Theater. So stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
By my side, to be everything I'm not. Angel's side, I breathe deep the breath of God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, and coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM. And we are sponsored by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Susanna Parent is also in studio doing the Facebook Live thing. So again, if you're listening on Friday night at 9, on Saturday at noon, or on Sunday morning at 9, we want to encourage you to set an alarm for 9 o'clock next Friday morning. And if you're on Facebook, tune into Facebook Live and watch these interviews right then and there. Joining us now is Jeremy Stanbury, who is a certified personal trainer with Crux Point Fitness. But again, I'm guessing a lot of listeners probably have partaken of Open Window Theater as well. You're the founder, the executive artistic director, an actor, and a playwright at Open Window Theater. And it's great to have you on the program. It's great to finally meet you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Likewise. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it's I've taken in a number of shows there at Open Window Theater, and that was I was just touched by each and every one. So thank you for that. It's a good, solid theater with some really great messages involved. So I'm really happy to support that. But we are here to talk about you just recently. I saw in the email blast that you've been sending out that you have achieved a legal victory, but I think we need to back up all the way back to maybe, well, what is Open Window Theater? What's the vision behind Open Window Theater?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, many listeners may even remember me and my theater work predating Open Window Theater with Epiphany Studio Productions and the traveling Catholic dramas that I was doing throughout the U.S. and internationally as well, performed at World Youth Day 2005 as well as World Youth Day 2008 in Australia. And then in 2011, we started settling down more here in the Twin Cities and established Open Window Theater, expanding our mission for doing redemptive quality theater, and opened up a black box professional theater space in Minneapolis, just a couple blocks away from the Hennepin Theater District. And it was, you know, it was incredible. We did, you know, full seasons of shows, four major productions between September and May, a summer children's show, and just focused on a redemptive vision in the arts, you know, really taking up my whole mission in theater and the arts from the beginning has been to take up St. John Paul II's vision for theater and the arts, and you know, his 1999 letter to artists really inspired me and my journey in theater and art. And so Open Window Theater, you know, we did a wide variety of shows, as you know, but shows with a powerful redemptive message. And we were reaching a really broad audience. We were growing season to season and, you know, reaching well beyond the Catholic and Christian communities. It was just a wonderful thing. And our budgets were growing from season to season, and we started expanding and taking on more space in the Metropolis Minneapolis building near downtown. And it was with our success and our expansion that problems began to arise with the building, the landlords, and then the city. And And I know we'll get into that here. That's what led to the legal battle. But yeah, we were, you know, by the end, by our fifth season, so we had five full seasons before we were forced to shut down. And by the end, I mean, we were bringing in about 8,000 people in our final season for our shows in this little, you know, 100 to 120 seat black box theater. And yeah, and we were seeing tremendous success.
Right. I don't think I ever attended a show there that I... There were just, if any, there were only a handful of empty seats. I mean, you usually packed them in, which is great. I love to see that. Just curious if you have a production that sticks with you in open window theater. It kind of says, to this point, this has been one of the most memorable productions that we've done.
Ah, boy, there were several.
Yeah, that's right.
There were several. But, you know, it had been a dream of mine for a while to produce... St. John Paul II's The Jeweler's Shop.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a playwright, our only playwright pope. He came from a theater background. And in fact, if he hadn't gone on to the priesthood, he would have pursued a professional career in theater. He was a founding member of the Rhapsodic Theater, an underground theater in Nazi-occupied Poland. He was part of a cultural resistance to the Nazis. And risked his life for that very purpose, and wrote a number of plays, and the most well-known and popular one is called The Jeweler's Shop. In fact, he wrote that when he was a bishop in Krakow. And it's a very difficult play to produce and to do well. It's meant more to be a meditative script that's read, and more of a reader's theater type play. But we took it on, we produced it, and it was one of the most successful shows we had done in Open Window. It was the first time we had to extend the run of a production at Open Window. And I was really proud with how that show came together and the quality of it. And you know, there were numerous other shows, A Man for All Seasons, Shadowlands, were all very memorable. The last full production we did was the classic Everyman medieval morality play. Mm-hmm. Another show that's very, very difficult to produce and to do well in our modern times. And so proud of that show. In fact, it was named by the Arts Reader in the Twin Cities as one of the top 10 best plays of 2016. So that was really great as we met a bittersweet end shortly after that production.
Right. Okay. Well, let's start talking about that. So what kind of problems arose, and how were you first confronted by these problems?
Yeah. So as I said, we were, succeeding and growing. We took on more space, started leasing more space at Metropolis, Minneapolis, and took out building permits that we needed for our expansion work. And it was through that process, and as the city came in and started taking a closer look at the building as a whole, that this whole unexpected can of worms started opening up. And we realized there were all kinds of code problems and deficiencies with the building that had ultimately were present there because the landlords, when they bought the building 10 years prior, had illegally renovated the building, had not taken out the proper permits at that time, and in fact did not have a valid certificate of occupancy for the building for how they'd been leasing it out ever since. And they had misled us and led us to believe over the years that that we could legitimately operate there. And we were legitimately operating as a theater, but ran into all these problems now with the city saying, you know, you can't be operating here because of this, and this reason. And we bent over backwards to try to do everything we could to resolve what were ultimately the landlord's responsibilities for getting that building up to code and getting a valid certificate of occupancy. And we were so well established, so well invested there that we did everything we could to try to remain there. But ultimately, the landlords were obstinate and were not cooperative in the least. And so eventually we were shut down. And then we began to pursue a legal course of action to try to, you know, bring justice out of this.
So it was the city that actually ended up shutting you down just because of the violations that had been perpetrated by the landlords, is that correct?
Right, yeah. And the landlords were not happy that all of this had been uncovered,
yeah.
Right? So they weren't happy with us, and And the city said, you know, these problems with the building need to get fixed in order for you to keep operating there. And they were, you know, things well outside of our scope for being able to fix. You know, we, again, had bent over backwards to resolve things on behalf of the landlords that we could resolve. But there got to a point where we couldn't do anything more, and the landlords were not cooperating. And so, yeah, we were forced to shut down, and it just decimated our business. And we had just raised, you know, $50,000 for this expansion project, mm-hmm. and that money was, you know, was spent. We'd invested that in our expansion, and so our donors were tapped out, and we were financially devastated. We had to cancel our spring production of that season five mm-hmm. in the spring of 2016, and it destroyed the business.
So this was early 2016 when all of this is going on.
Yeah, I mean, at first, the summer of 2015 is when it all kind of first started okay. unraveling. And then, you know, we were able to get our city councilman on our side. He was very sympathetic of the situation, the city councilman in Ward 5 of Minneapolis, where we were located. And he was also doing all he could to help us and negotiate arrangements with the city mm-hmm. To keep us operating. But eventually, you know, the city became obstinate and didn't want us performing anymore until the building issues got resolved. The landlords were not cooperative, and so we ended up having to close down.
All right. So the legal, I'm assuming you filed the suit to begin with, and did you, is that how that began?
Yes. In fact, we had another 11 months left on our current lease when we moved out, and so the landlords, on top of all of this, decided to sue us for the remaining rent that was due on our lease. And we said, no, you're the ones who are in breach of the lease. And so we countersued with numerous claims. And it took 2 years for that lawsuit to play out.
Yeah.
In fact, a consolidated combined lawsuit between those two. But we ended up going through a full jury trial. And that was last week, May 21st to the 25th was our big jury trial. And thanks be to God, you know, we had a huge victory through that. And, you know, one of our board members was Mark Blando, founding partner of the Eklund and Blando law firm, and it was such a huge blessing, miracle from God. They took this on pro bono.
Wow.
We wouldn't have been able to fight back without that blessing, and they did tremendous work for us and a huge victory. The jury ended up awarding us $350,000 in damages to bring Open Window Theater back again, and it's just a sweet vindication and redemption.
Okay. I want to get back into that, but first I'm just curious. In the midst of all of it, like when it's perhaps looking bleakest, what's going through your head at this point?
Boy, it was a real tough time.
Yeah.
It was a real tough time for our family, for myself, and you know, going through a huge life transition in the past 2 years. And I mean, this had been my life's work for 13 years, you know, with Epiphany Studio Productions and Open Window Theater for 13 years of my life. I mean, this was my identity. This is what I did. I felt this was a calling. And to have all that taken away so suddenly, it was a real blow for sure. And the Lord took me through a real death to self and a real, you know, deeper surrender to Him. And, you know, but in the midst of all of this, you know, my marriage grew and deepened. Our faith grew and deepened. Our relationship with the Lord grew and deepened. And we got to a real place of detachment. We had to. We didn't know if the theater would ever come back again. And, you know, and those are all good things that the Lord, I think, wants of all of our lives, to rely more on Him.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for that. Now let's get into the joy. How did it feel when that decision came through?
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I literally, as we were in there listening to the verdict being read, you know, when I heard that they cited in our favor in the $350,000 damages number, I collapsed on the table. I just broke down.
Oh my God.
I get emotional now. I get emotional now because it was such a, you know, it was just such a vindication, such a redemption, and such a long process to get to that point. And it was very clear that the Lord was saying, you know, that it was part of His purpose and plan for the theater to come back, and to come back even bigger, better, and stronger than it was before. And it was just such a huge relief and joy. And there's been so many people that have stuck with us through all of this. You know, you think 2 years later after being shut down, people would have, you know, mostly forgotten about us by now. But we continue to have people asking about the theater constantly. People still donating to help us get through the trial in the hopes that the theater would come back again. And just the fact that so many people stuck with us for so long and hearing all the stories of how much the theater meant to people, it increased our passion and zeal to bring the theater back again. And now to have the resources to do that is just so exciting, and we can't wait for the first production.
All right, so let's talk about that. You've got the resources. You've got the plan. When is the first production? When can we?
And that's where we need more prayers right now, because right now we don't know exactly when we're going to see that money.
Right.
So now we get into the collection phase where we got to try to collect on that money that's been awarded. And it's there. It's there. And I feel like the Lord has not brought us to this point in order for the money not to come. So it's going to come. It's just a matter of, hopefully sooner rather than later. And then we have a lot of decisions to make for the organization and try to find a more permanent home to get established in.
Right. Okay. Well, our continued prayers and hopefully support as well will continue to flow in your direction, in the direction of Open Window Theater. If you, again, to all of our listeners, if you haven't taken in a show in Open Window Theater, put it on your to-do list once the theater finds a permanent home and reopens with more productions. How can people stay in touch with Open Window Theater right now, Jeremy?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, openwindowtheater.org, theater spelled T-R-E, openwindowtheater.org. We post blog updates on our website. We also have a Facebook page for Open Window Theater. We're on Twitter, so people can follow us on social media and on the website and join our email list as well for the theater. And yeah, just stay tuned. A lot more to come, and we're really excited about that. We hope our patrons from the past will all come back and bring more people with them.
Amen to that. Jeremy, thank you for all the work that you've done and more so for your faith and your trust in the Lord, especially through some pretty dark times.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour as well. We're going to go into our final break, and as we do, we've got more community events coming up, and we'll talk about other ways you can engage with the Lord to deepen your faith. Stay with us.
Discover. Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Hey, before we get into the community events, Paul.
Yes.
Just a little note from those who are listening to the earlier part of the show. If you're interested in learning more about particularly that serve that we talked about at Pax Christi's website, you can go to faithnetwork.com. Faithnetwork.com. They are the support website that actually has that as part of it. So that's what I've got to share. Paul, what do you have to share?
Tons and tons of things. The National Catholic Singles Conference is in the Twin Cities next weekend, Friday, June 8th through Sunday, June 10th. There will be inspiring talks, Holy Mass each day, fellowship with the hundreds of single Catholics attending from across the nation. Local Catholic singles are encouraged and welcome to attend. The conference will be at the Bloomington Hilton Hotel. Complete information and registration available at National CatholicSingles.com.
You are invited to the Rural Life Celebration at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 24th at Goldview Farms in Waverly. Mass will be celebrated with Father Charles Lockowitzer, followed by lunch and children's activities like barrel train rides, hay wagon rides, and seeing farm animals. What? That's not just for children. I'd like to do that. Please bring your own lawn chairs. Some seating will be provided. In case of rain, the celebration will be held indoors at the farm.
Grandparents are invited to bring your grandchildren for a summer pilgrimage to the majestic Cathedral of St. Paul, Thursday, June 28th, 1 to 3 p.m. The special event takes place during the annual Fortnight for Freedom as we look forward to Independence Day. The pilgrimage to the cathedral will include the opportunity for your grandchildren to have an up-close view of the sanctuary, the altar, and the Archbishop's chair, brief tutorial of the Mass by Father John Paul Erickson, and more. We'll end the pilgrimage in Hayden Hall to enjoy cookies and lemonade. For more information and to register, visit rediscover-faith.org. Click on events.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, an encyclical written by Pope Paul VI to reaffirm the Orthodox teaching of the Catholic Church on married love, responsible parenthood, and the continued rejection of unnatural forms of birth control and abortion. In recognizing this anniversary, Bishop Andrew Cousins will be meeting with young adult groups throughout the Twin Cities to discuss Humanae Vitae and address questions. You are invited to the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis on Thursday, June 28th. Q&A with Bishop Cousins will take place from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. in St. Teresa of Calcutta Hall, the lower level of Basilica. For more information, visit tcya.archspm.org.
Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization is excited to announce the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. The series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker and time for reflection, prayer, and Q&A with the speaker. For more information, visit the events page, rediscover-faith.org. There will be a series starting October 1st, October, at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and the location for Young Adult Series is coming soon.
What's next week? Next week, we're going to talk about pilgrimages. Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Randazzo will be on air to share with us about upcoming World Youth Day pilgrimage. Kim Doyle will talk about a grandparents' pilgrimage, and Father Joseph Johnson will talk about pilgrimages in general. That's what's coming next week. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.